We're going to get into the Word of God, so let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer and receive God's Word today. He has a great Word for us this morning. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your holy written Word. We thank you that your Word is eternal, it's life-changing, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for the entrance of your Word that will give and produce light, give understanding to us in simple, clear forms. We thank you for the teacher of the Word, the revealer, the minister of revelation in our lives, the Holy Spirit. We trust him today to give us utterance. We trust him to unveil and unfold the Word of God unto our spirits. Give us full clarity. Give us impartation, instruction, and divine illumination. We thank you for revelation, knowledge, and truth today. And we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will destroy and break every yoke of bondage. And we give you all of the credit, all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. We're turning your Bible to Judges chapter 6. Those of you in person, there is some handouts in the back if you want to get them. But Judges chapter 6, we're going to start a new emphasis or new theme or series today, and it's called Move. Everybody say Move. Move, move. And so God honors movement, friends. God is a God of movement. Now, does he want you to stay the same and in the same spot or place in 2021 as he did, as you were in 2020? No. He wants you to move. So we're gonna talk through and walk through several weeks of moving. We're going to say moving from and then to. Moving from, so you got to start from somewhere and then go to somewhere. And so today we're going to move from being a victim to being and living in victory. Move from victim to victory. Everybody say move from victim to victory. And too many people were, and including myself in some points, were longing for the day when 2020 calendar would expire. Anybody agree with me that it was a little bit of a challenge and a little bit of a tough year? But praise the Lord. Thank God for his faithfulness. Amen. And so our faith, friends, even is motion activated. So we're going to read in Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 24. I'm going to read it out of the traditional King James Bible. And then we're going to break down different components of it because we want to see the same steps Gideon took to go from being a victim to being in victory. Now, we're not going to cover all of the story of Gideon, but we want you to do that. We want you to cover and see the end of the story when he got ultimate victory in his assignment as a deliverer and as a judge in the nation of Israel. Now, let's look where he started from, and then we'll see where he moves to. So we'll start in verse 11. It says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, which pertained unto Josh the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now at this time, if you study the first verse all the way down, we're starting at the 11, the Midianites were allowed to persecute and put the Israelites under bondage because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so now they're under oppression, they're under starvation, they're under struggle. It was a hard time, like many of us experienced last year. In verse 12 it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto them, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That means man of fearless courage. Now he was hiding. You don't typically hide when you're courageous. when you ain't, excuse the language, when you ain't scared of nobody or scared of nothing. But he was hiding from the Midianites because he's trying to get a bologna and cheese sandwich. He's frying up some of that good old thick bologna and cheese and trying to hide it. Look at verse 13. And Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which the fathers told us of? Did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Look at verse 14. The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" And he said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Verse 17, and he said unto them, If I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me." He said, "Depart not hence." In other words, don't leave me. Don't stay right there, Lord. He said, "I pray thee until I come unto thee and bring my present," or bring my offering. He said, "I'm going to bring an offering and set it before you." And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And the angel. And then the Lord, Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened bread cakes of an ephah of flour. And the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it unto him under the oak and presented it, his offering. He's looking for a sign. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the flesh of the unleavened cakes and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff and all that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there arose fire from the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that it was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said to him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon, last verse, built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Bezerites. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. See, the one word move means to go or pass to another place or in a certain direction with a continuous motion. And as we said, God is a God of movement. So he's now on the move in Israel to move them from being victim to being in victory. He wanted them to be delivered from the Midianites. You know, God doesn't want you to stay bound by Satan, sin, shame, or sorrow. In 2020, too often we saw and experienced things in our lives moving backwards. Maybe perhaps our spirituality, our health declining, our financial well-being going the other way because of economic or financial problems or pressure. Our missional focus as a born-again believer and Christ follower has been out of focus. And today, with the backdrop of the story of this story of movement, the movement steps of Gideon in this first Sunday of the new year, our Lord is calling and challenging us today to move, to get moving from being victimized because of what happened or perhaps what didn't happen in 2020. To being in our place of victory, our place of blessing, and our place of triumph in Christ. This story of victory and deliverance, dear friends, that Gideon started at the summons through the angel of the angel and the call of God, begins with him moving from being a victim and stepping out to victory. See, the notion that any family is just one generation away from decline needs no other example than we find in many in the book of Judges. Judges is about our Father God who disciplines, but also who restores. This has been proclaimed also a year that the Lord is shouting restore, restoration. The book of Judges, we find a striking portrait of people without a king. There was no king on the earth at that time. It is also the seriousness of commitment we should learn, and the power of forgetfulness. See, to move from being a victim, you got to forget being victimized and how you were and have been victimized, and perhaps even vandalized. And the long-suffering mercy of God and the grace of God to forgive and to deliver. This is what we get from the book of Judges. Now, I said earlier, but I'll read it right now. In Judges 1 through 3, it says, Then the children of the Lord did evil in the sight of the Lord. Perhaps that occurred in our lives, or maybe perhaps in instances in our families. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years. That's a long time. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of God made for themselves the dens and the caves and the strongholds which were in the mountains. So they were hiding in caves. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. In other words, they would sow crops, but their enemies would take it. Evil, as we said, is anything or anyone that takes you away from your God intended plans or purpose for your life. Anything that's taking you from God and the will of God or away from the work of God in your life is evil. Some people say, well, I didn't have time. Or I don't have the abilities. Or I don't have the money to give. I don't have the testimony to share. What's keeping you from that? That's evil. Somebody say glory to God. All right, say oh me if you need to. We're going to take communion. We're going to get it right. Start it right this year. I believe the Lord is telling us through this account of Gideon to rededicate and consecrate ourselves to face determined opposition. I'm not up here telling you some pie in the sky prophecy. And I'm not trying to persuade you that everything's going to be perfect and flowery beds of ease in 2021. I'm not promising you no problems in 2021. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Bible says for to you and me in John 16:33 that in this world you will have tribulation. That means trouble, tests, and trials. Tough times. He said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. So this is a year where we have to rededicate and consecrate ourselves right at the beginning, this first Sunday, to face determined opposition. The devil and his evil spirits and cohorts are not going to stand and say, you made it through 2020. Now here's 2021. We're going to take a break and leave you alone. You and I will have faith. We'll have to face determined opposition we will experience this year with a fearlessness, with a faith, with a spiritual tenacity and courage to complete, courage with complete commitment and obedience. We got to call it out up front. Are you committed and willing and obedient to do his word, to do his will, to fulfill and finish his work? So what are the steps? What are the steps we are to take and move through and move from to victory, from victim to victory? Step number one is calling. The angel of the Lord showed up. Like you said, Gideon's out there making his bologna and cheese sandwich. And the angel of the Lord showed up and said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. He said, who, me? He said, go up and fight against the Midianites and you will defeat them as one man. Everybody say calling. See, a career is what you are paid for. Many of you have jobs and employed or been employed at some point in your life. And a career is what you're paid for, but a calling is what you're made for. The Bible says a whole lot about our calling. Everybody say calling. See, there is a caller. The caller is always God. And unfortunately, some people put God on call waiting, or they try to put God in their voicemail, in which it's already full. God can't leave any more messages. Somebody say praise the Lord. And in Romans 11:29, it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The gifts, plural, that means what God has deposited and endowed in you by his grace. They and the calling, singular, of God are irrevocable. Both the gifts, plural, and the calling come from God. But he didn't take it back. He didn't take it away. He didn't change his mind. God does not change his mind as if he made a mistake. His divine summons and his call on your life is irrevocable, irreversible, and irreplaceable. Someone said, I want to opt out. You can't opt out of it. You can't talk God out of it. He's already prepared the best plan and put you in the right place for the right purpose. And you can't choose another calling in lieu of or instead of it. If you've been called to preach, you better be learning and growing in your preaching abilities and teaching ability. If you're called to pray, you should allow the God of glory and the Lord of Lord and King of Kings to use you and control you as an instrument of intercession. If you're called to serve, then you need to serve with all diligence and with all faithfulness and excellence. If you're called to give, you're called to give generously, extravagantly, liberally, and faithfully. Praise the Lord. What is God calling you to do? 1 Corinthians 7:20 says, let each one remain in the same calling. Everybody say same calling. Which he called. So he called you. The call has to be answered. He called you to something for a purpose of something. He called you to a place for a purpose and with a plan. Now, here's some three big truths about the calling, because it's similar throughout the Bible. Number one, it is a high calling. Everybody say high calling. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, marks are intermediate goals and objectives. In other words, what are your intermediate goals and objectives that God has for you to achieve and attain to this year? We shared earlier in the offering that we have giving goals. We have you have growth goals. You should have serving goals, because God didn't call you to sit. He called you to serve. Amen. See, this speaks of the calling's priority, which is top priority, which means it's most important. It's a high calling. Number two, it's a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began. So when you were created in Christ Jesus, you were called also in Christ Jesus. It is a holy, precious thing. That means this speaks of the calling's purity of purpose. That means your purpose has been exclusively set apart and set aside for God's purposes. Now, you may be on a job, you may be in a particular occupation, but you're called, calling is holy. Amen. Amen. Number three, it's a heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling. Everybody say heavenly calling. So it's a high calling, it's a holy calling, it's a heaven calling. Hebrews 3:1 says, therefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. In other words, this speaks of our calling's power. So high calling speaks of our calling's priority. Holy calling speaks of our calling's purity. And heavenly calling speaks of our calling's power and authority. That means who called you. Y'all know y'all got your favorites on your phone. Perhaps you do. Maybe you got favorites. Maybe you don't. So you got favorites. That means when they call or you have emergency contact, when you're in trouble, who do you call first? Who calls you first? Amen. So who's calling you? Who's calling? Who is calling you? God's calling. Wait a minute. Everything else has to pause because God's calling. See, our calling is to be someone before we are to do something. It is essentially this, who before do. As we look ahead in this new year, many think of things to do. I got to do this. I got to lose weight. I got to get out of debt. Those are good, admirable, and noble reasons, things to do. Amen. So many times we think of doing things differently, but it's more important to be different as you do grow and grow in Christ, and to be more like Christ, and to be salt and light, and to be who God created and called you to be. Amen. Ephesians 4:1 tells us, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Are you walking and living, talking and telling worthily of your calling? First Peter 5:10 says, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So there's the calling. There's the calling. Then there's the confusion. Because sometimes we get confused when we don't think, when we think or we presume that because we're called, everything is going to be correct, everything's going to be comfortable, everything is going to be cool. You know, the devil, like we said before, is not going to open the door and say, okay, God's called you, I'm going to leave you alone. You need to be worried a little bit and concerned if the devil's not messing with you. Because he's only opposing the word of God, and he's opposing the will of God and the work of God in your life. Everybody say confusion. And see, this brings people into a place of confusion because he says, oh, my Lord. Now, the statement, oh, my Lord, is an expression of respect. Similar to saying, sir. Wait a minute, sir. He's telling an angel. Wait a minute, sir. Oh, my Lord, sir. If God be with us, then what's happening? Why is all this stuff happening? Why are we going through this hardness and hard times? Where's his miracles? If you say he's with us, why are the Midianites oppressing us and depressing us and discouraging us? See, often the enemy will bring and try to cause confusion, conflicts, and complications when the calling comes in our lives, when we pursue and try to gain clear perspective of our calling and divine purpose. Because people, we say, make the three E's. They want to give an excuse. Why? Because they have a conflict here. They have a conflict of interest. I have the things are complicated in my life. I have to explain to you. They try to make an excuses, give an explanation, try to request an exemption. Listen, opt me out. I know, but things aren't perfect in my life. Things aren't put together the way I want it. So the confusion comes after the calling. Because the devil's confronting you. He's trying to complicate you. Where? In your mind. He's trying to bring confusion to you. The Bible tells us that God is not the author of what? Confusion. That means he tries to disarray and disorder and disassemble your life to a point to where you say, I can't do what God tells me to do. I got too many problems. I'm under too much pressure. I got too much pain in my life. I got too many personal issues going on. And we always say the excuse is what? The thin skin of falsehood stretched tightly over a bald-faced lie. So let's make no excuses this year. Now again, Gideon wasn't being disrespectful. He was being respectful. And then we get to the next step. Confirmation. Everybody say confirmation. Now, confirmation, starting in verse 14, is to make firm, establish, or to make sure. It's a legal term or a reference for a guarantee. This is a confirmation. Remember, faith, one of the definitions of faith is the confirmation, the title deed, the assurance of the things that you're hoping for. What's your confirmation number for your healing? Well, it's 1 Peter 2:24. That's your confirmation number. Just like when you order something on Amazon, they give you a confirmation number, a tracking number, a shipping number. They say this is the confirmation that it's been shipped or your transaction has gone through. It's a guarantee. It's a legal term or a legal reference. You reserve an hotel or you reserve an air flight. They give you a confirmation number. So you have a confirmation number for your healing. You have a confirmation for your family salvation. You have a confirmation number for your deliverance. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. Amen. So he's saying, Lord, show me a sign. See, God always confirms his prophecies and his promises. He confirms his word with signs and wonders following, the Bible says. Ephesians 16:20. He guarantees your victory because he's with you. Wait a minute now. You're walking with me now. You're no longer a victim. We're going to walk in victory in 2021. Somebody say glory to God. He's with you. And if he's with you, then he's for you. And the Bible says, "If what shall we say to these things?" Romans 8, 31, 32. If God is for us, who what? Who can be against us? What can be against us? Praise God. Who spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also together with him freely give us what? All things. So our Father God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So he said, I brought you into this year, and I'm going to walk with you through this year. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He's going to walk with you. That's your confirmation. And he told him, I'm going to be with you. I'm calling you to do this, but I'm not running away. I'm running back to heaven. I'm going to be right here with you in the thick of things. Somebody say, glory to God. See, the Christian's confidence should rest in God's presence and his power, not in our personal abilities or resources. So we got to wipe out that I can't do that, God. I don't have time to get that done, God. I don't have time to pray, God. I don't have time to be, God. I don't have time to share my testimony, God. Come on, everybody say, he's with you. And he's with me. Glory to God. Then we go into comfort. I'm sorry, confirmation. I say comfort. Confirmation. We're still on confirmation. So he get a confirmation. We see before he could represent God in the public, Gideon had to know him in a personal way. What are we learning from Gideon? Before he could represent God in the public, because God was calling him to do something public. Deliver Israel from the Midianites. But he first had to know him personally. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. God's warriors, which he's called us all to be and become. Amen. Because we're at war with the enemy of our soul. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of this darkness of the world, spiritual wickedness in the high places. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. We're not in a civilian organization as a church. We are in the army of the Lord. So God, as God's warriors, as God's soldiers, we must be with God in worship. Before we can be with God in warfare. So your personal experience with God first begins with your worship of God. What did he bring to the table? He brought an offering. He said, Lord, stay right here, Lord. Don't leave. I'm going to come back and present my gift to you. Now, friends, they were starving. He was trying to sneak in the refrigerator and see if he can find a little bit of bologna and cheese to make a sandwich. But he goes out and gets a kid, which is what we would call a premium meal. This is a prime dinner. He takes an ephah of flour and makes unleavened bread, which is like we would take in our communion wafer. And he's saying, Lord, this is the best meat I have that I can get. He cooked some broth on it. Probably he put the best recipe together, cooked that little thing, and then had that bread baked and said, Lord, here it is. In other words, he brought his best offering. And plenty of people don't think my worship is extended and expanded to God through my offering to God. So he sets it on rocks, and the Lord said, throw the broth out. He set the kid on there. He had it in a basket. He presented it to the Lord, and God received it. The angel touched it with the staff, and the rock caught on fire, and he consumed the offering and then left. This is your confirmation. Somebody said, glory to God. And then he needed some comfort. Because in verse 22, we pick it up again. It says, when Gideon perceived that it was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, the Lord God, because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face, the Lord said unto him, peace be with unto you. Man, that's awesome to have God tell you, 2021, peace be unto you. Hallelujah. Fear not. That means starting last Friday, we have another 362 days to fear not. Amen. Thou shalt not die. Now, how many are going to receive that comforting word in verse 23? Amen. Peace be unto you. Fear not, and you will not die. Some of us take into fears into the new calendar year. I'm afraid I'm not going to have enough money. I'm afraid this family situation is not going to get any better. I'm afraid my finances are not going to get any better. I'm afraid my health may not get any better. What is the Lord saying? Fear not. Peace be with you. You shall not die. Praise God. Anybody receiving that today? And then we see the last one, the challenge. Now, I'm not going to read. I'm just going to start with the 25th verse, because it goes all the way down to the 35th verse. But it says, and it comes to pass that same night, the Lord said unto him, take thy father the young bullock, and even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut the grove that is by it. In other words, go down and take down all your daddy's idols and idol worship instruments. Now, he just said, I'm the least in my father's house. That means I'm the youngest. I'm the one that's the baby that's always overlooked, perhaps. I'm always in last place because I'm the least. And I'm in the least family of the least tribe of Israel. That means he was making excuses earlier. That was his confusion. But now we get to the challenge. He said, now I want you to go back and take down your father's altar to Baal. Take down the idols in your father's house. And throw down. And build an altar to the Lord, verse 26. And God, on top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer the burnt sacrifice of wood on the grove and cut it down. Now, I want you to see this. When we back up and look at the sign that he was warning with his extravagant offering at the time the nation was starving, he revealed to us, and it should confirm to us, that it's okay to ask for the Lord's acceptance, assurance, and allegiance. And that's what the Lord said, I'm going to be with you. I accept your offering. Amen. I'm going to assure you that you will not die. Now the challenge is, you got to step out in faith to believe it and to receive it and to act upon it. Now, we can't go to another year where we just hear it and say, amen, praise the Lord, and we don't do it. We can't be hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Somebody say glory to God. So with every assignment and calling, there are tests. So write on your paper, I got tests this year. God's not going to give me a testimony without a test. There are phases. Many people fail to complete the first phase of what they've been called to do because they don't pass the test within that phase. Let me give you four phases that we need to pass in 2021. Now, first one is faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. See, you can't say I was faithful in 2019. 2020, I dropped off the wagon. No. If you have to say I was, then you never were. So just because the calendar year turned to 2021 doesn't mean we get to be faithless or unfaithful. We have to be faithful. First phase is faithfulness. You don't get to pass this phase unless you've been practicing faithfulness. You don't get to play, you don't get playing time. I know sports is hot and heavy right now, football and basketball. But those guys don't get any playing time unless they've been practicing. Amen. And you don't get the playing time unless you've been faithful over time. 1 Timothy 1:2 says, 1:12 says, I thank God, thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who has enabled me because he has counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. See, faith is when you can believe and trust God. Faithfulness is when God can trust you. Can God trust you in 2021 to be all that he has called you to be and to do what the work that he has called you to do? Typically, faith is what we talk about most in church, but faithfulness is what God talks about most in the New Testament. Our Heavenly Father, God, wants you to be faithful with four things: your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony. Brother Hagin was pastoring a church for 12 years, 12 and a half years or so. And then he was on the road for a year or two, and he was asked, and after 14 years or 15 years, somewhere around there, God told him, he said, you've just now entered into the first phase of what I've called and created you to be, to do, be and do. And he said, wait a minute, Lord, I've been pastoring for 12 plus years. I've been on the road for a year or two, almost 2 years. And you telling me I just entered into the first phase? He said, what was I doing all those time? I was preaching. I was praying for people, healing the sick, sharing the gospel, getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, son, you were proving yourself faithful over time. See, when we look at the backdrop of this church and we say, well, we've been existing for 16 years. What have we been doing for 16 years? We've been proving ourselves faithful over time. What have you been doing since you've been in the Lord? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. You've got to prove yourself faithful over time. With what? Your time, your talent, your treasure, your testimony. Second phase. You don't get to pass this phase unless you execute. So once you've been proven faithful, then you get a chance to execute what you've been called to be and what you've been called to do. I remember one of my favorite movies, Remember the Titans. And Denzel Washington is playing Coach Herman Boone. I got a chance to meet him personally, him and Coach Yost, and had a signed football by him and a pitcher. And that was one of my favorite movies. It's always inspiring, encouraging. But one of the accounts, Petey was one of the running backs, and Coach Boone had to bench him because he dropped the football. He said, Petey, if you drop the football, you're going to have to run a mile. He said, don't you drop this football one more time. So he dropped the football in one of the early games. And so he benched Petey for the rest of the season. Why? Because he can execute holding on to the football. Can you execute holding on to what God has called you to do and to be? Can you check the emails? Can you stay on top of the area that you've been called to do? Can you be proficient, effective, and efficient in what God has placed you and put you in the body? Can you execute your job, your role and responsibility? Or are you going to give excuses, explanations why I can't get it done, or explanations or exemptions of why I have to opt out? Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:26 through 23. This is a Message translation. It says, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. Now listen to me. We need to ask ourselves, are we running hard for the finish line? That means I have to learn before I lead. I have to love before I lead. So that means part of my leadership is how I'm learning and how I'm loving. And how I'm listening to things that will teach me to go and grow to another level. He said, I'm running hard to the finish line. God has planned 2021 from the end to the beginning. In other words, there's a finish, but there's a beginning and ending, and there's a middle. And in the middle, he wants us to be able to execute. Look at this. He said, I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. Are you giving it everything you got? Or are you giving it away to other people to do it? To be it? To tell it? He said, no sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself. See, you can post it, but can you perform it? Can you publicize it to your friends and family on social media, but can you produce it? See, there's no Bible illustration of someone coasting to the finish line. Mr. Gideon, Brother Gideon, as we'll call him in heaven. Maybe he may have another name, but we'll call him Brother Gideon. He will not tell you that he coasted. Because when he got challenged to take down the altar, something small, God took him to another level to do more. And he ended up defeating the entire army of the Midianites with only 300 people. He was outmatched. He was outnumbered. But he said, I can't work with 30,000 or 13,000 people who are weak, who are warriors and not warriors. See, friends, remember, we cannot retire or retreat or relax from the will and work of God in our lives. It's a time to step up and execute. Everybody say execute. People will ask sometimes, when is good enough? The answer is, only the difference between good and great is how often you do good. Did you do good on Friday? Did you do good on yesterday? Are you doing good today? Amen. When you get to a place when good, you do good repeatedly, people will say and know you're great at that. You're great at singing. You're great at serving. You're great at preaching and teaching. God is asking us to be good and do good and execute good on a daily basis in 2021. You may take a personal vacation, but don't take a faith vacation. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, through which you are also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. If good were easy, then it wouldn't be a fight. So for 2021 to be a good year, it's going to involve and entail you fighting. Fighting the good fight of faith. The third phase. In the third phase, you figure out what works and do it. That means you have to be the CPS of your heart, the CPS of your house, the CPS of your habits, and the CPS of your assigned area. What is CPS? Now, those of us in San Antonio, I know those online may not be from here, some of them. CPS stands for the energy company. But we're not talking about the energy company. I'm talking about chief problem solver. You are the chief problem solver of poison in your heart, pollution in your heart, problems with your heart. Because when your passion is low, there's a problem. When your purpose is unclear, there's a problem. Amen. When the plan is not being carried out, there is a problem. So you got to figure out what works and do it. You've got to be who you are, God, who God made you, and how God made you. The fourth and final phase isn't about sitting down, it's about finishing. Acts 20:24 says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count myself life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. We often hear this phrase, football and basketball games are usually won in the fourth quarter, unless there's, you know, an unusual blowout, right? Where they blow it out and just no way to come back in the natural sense. But most games are won in the fourth quarter. You finish and complete your assignment and purpose by completing the fourth quarter and final phase. And there's five keys to do this. Number one, the fourth phase determines how much depth you have. How much depth you have. How much depth do you have to finish? Now see, depth for us is discipline, determination, and diligence. How much discipline, determination, and diligence do you have to finish 2021 in the will of God and accomplish his work, the work of God? Great teams have the best depth. Somebody, and in this case, everybody, has to step up. You know, I like the Navy SEALs. I used to work with them in one sense when I was in the military on some joint things, joint operations. But the Navy SEALs have a 40% rule. That means that when your body and your mind tell you you can't do it anymore, you still have 40% left. This is usually a phrase that comes out during one of their training weeks called the Hell Week. The Hell Week is basically designed to make you quit. Now, we don't necessarily have hell weeks in the kingdom of God, but we have hell to confront us. The demons of hell, the devil of hell, the darkness from hell, trying to tell you do what? Quit. Give up. Give in. But you've got to say, in Christ, I got 40%. I got 40%. The fourth phase also determines who has the best desire. So you got to have the best depth. You got the best desire. Do you desire today? Now, these are things we have to consecrate and dedicate ourselves. Because some people don't desire to get better. Some people don't desire to do good. Some people don't desire to improve. Everybody gets tired in the fourth quarter. But it's not about getting tired. It's about having desire. It's also about having the best discipline, the best depth, the best desire, the best discipline. See, discipline is the ability to do what you have to do when you don't want to do it. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many probably thought, well, first Sunday of the year, let me just stay home. Let me just stay away. Let me just stay in. But we had to have the discipline to get up. We had to have the discipline to come. We had to have the discipline to come on time. Then we had to have a discipline to come and be prepared. That means we're not coming on time ill-prepared. We're coming prepared. Then we had to come prepared and ready to help and learn. We have to have that discipline when we walk through the door, when we come into the room, when we come into the sanctuary. Who am I going to help? And what am I going to learn? Amen. The fourth phase is about making the best decisions. Many people make New Year's resolutions this first part of the year. I always say make quality decisions. We must choose not to live by our emotions, but by our decisions. Why is that, Pastor? Because decisions determine our destiny and our outcome. Decisions determine our conduct. Decisions determine our character and who we're going to be like. Because we decide to be in Christ, or we can decide to be in crisis. We can decide to live our life for Christ, or we decide to live outside of Christ. See, your decisions determine your conduct, your decisions determine your character, your decisions determine your destiny. See, incision means to cut in, excision means to cut out, circumcision, as we talked about last week, means to cut around, but decision means to cut off. What do you have to stop, and what do you have to start in 2021? What do you have to cut off or cut away? Some people need to consider some habits and some heart things that influence your heart and your habits. You might have to consider this. I have to cut off. See, we make a decision to cut off sin and its tormenting and damaging effects on our lives and our families. Because if we harbor sin in our heart, if we hold unconfessed sin in our heart, we will never have a habit of victory. We will always have a habit of being victimized or a victim. If we bring sin into our house, we're going to victimize and vandalize that house. If we allow sin to run rampant in our house, then the victim and the vandalization will be in our house. We make a decision to cut off Satan and exercise our God-given authority to terminate his effects, to harass, oppress, and to harm us and our families. We make a decision to cut off those toxic relationships and ungodly evil influences that are agents of the demise and destruction in our lives. Most people take you down. Some people get you stuck. And some people take you up. Only a few people take you up. You got to make a decision. Who am I hanging around that's pulling me in the opposite way of the will of God? Who do I need to make a decision? Who is cooling my heart down for the things of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We make a decision to cut off things that enter in through the eye gate and cause us to look lustfully and covetously and cause sin to enter in. You know those pop-ups that come up on your phone. You know those enticing things that come across social media or maybe Amazon. They say, you might be interested in this. You might like this. And you spend more than you have. Because your eyes, you're spending with your eyes and you're not spending being wise. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. See, daily we must make a choice to rejoice because this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the new year that the Lord has gave. Somebody say glory to God. Decide daily to trust God and be people of faith and to be people of focus and to be people of faithfulness. Somebody say, glory to God. Now, as we close and get ready to take communion, get your elements ready, I'm going to read a word of the Lord for this year by a prophet of God, credible, seasoned prophet of God. He said, do not fear. Listen to this. for the future because it's still bright. And this is the Lord saying, I will see you through each and every fight. Amen. Isn't that good? It's like Gideon. We're like in that whole place where Gideon was, where the angel's telling them what the Lord is telling them. And this is what the Lord is saying. So stay in faith and watch what you say. Speak only my word and I'll have my way. It'll never be my will for you to fail. It's always my will for you to prevail. So don't be moved by what you say or you hear and see, excuse me. This is how you enter into greater victories. Be bold and courageous and stay free from all fear. Remember, he told them, fear not. Peace be with you. You will not die. Remember he said that? For 2021, he said, so be bold and courageous and stay free from all fear. For 2021 is going to turn out to be a great year. I'll take you higher than you've ever been before. This is my promise. My promises are sure. So stay in my word and rest in me, for this is your year to be totally free. Somebody say glory to God. Come on, stand with me on your feet and let's thank God. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Grab your communion elements. We're going to stand before the Lord and consecrate ourselves to him. I'm going to ask Pastor Cynthia to come on up. We're going to pray together over the bread and the juice. We're going to take it as a family. Come on, son. Come on, bud. Hallelujah. We got our